Hello and welcome to a very special episode of the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet. This is, of course, the Grand National Special. We are looking ahead to perhaps the best race in the world, best jumps race in the world for many. So we're going to have a quick look at the big race as well as all the usual big action on ITV on Saturday afternoon. Loads of top class action away from the National itself, but there's no better place to start than the big race. So before I do, let me introduce you. I'm James Stevens, regular host of the Postcast. In the top right there is top tipster Graham Rodway. Bottom left, the handicapper Johnny Pearson and Brett Williams from Unibet in the bottom right. Let's go straight into it then. The Grand National, the big race of the year. Quick spin through the market with our sponsors, Unibet. Your current favourite at the time of recording on Thursday afternoon, Iroko at 13-2. Stumptown, the Cheltenham Festival winner at 7-1. Hewick could be an incredible story, 8-1. Last year's winner, Iron Maximus, 17-2. Vanilia, also for Gavin Cromwell at 9-1. Percival Leligus at 10-1, a bit of a mouthful. Intense Raffles also at 10-1. Manella Kakuna at 14-1. Can Do Kid and Senior Chief at 16s, as well as Meeting on the Waters and Highland. Free Card Brag at 18-1 and will stop their 20-1 bar. Graham, we're going to do a 4-3-2-1 on the Grand National. Kick us off. Your top four in the Grand National in reverse order.
In reverse order. So you want number four first. Is that right?
I do indeed.
Okay, I'm going to kick off in fourth then. I'm going to kick off with Appreciate It. How about that one? It's a big old price, isn't he? But he's a very talented horse on his days. He was running in grade ones at his peak. I mean, he's 11 years old now. But I do like horses with plenty of back class in the modern Grand National. The most important thing nowadays is to be able to travel round and quicken up. And I think we know Appreciate It can do that. So he's got loads of form over shorter. He's got one of those old-fashioned types who's been running like 2.5 miles. Will he get four? But I remember nowadays in the National, they tend to poodle round for most of the way and then sprint up the home straight. Might just suit Appreciate It. So he's my fourth choice, James. Third, I've got another massive outsider for you. Celebridalan. He's 13 years old, but he's in really good form. You know, for all that's like 100 odd to one or whatever he is now, I mean, he comes in off the back of a win and he went round these fences last year really, really well. When he was fourth in the Topham, again, over a shorter distance. He comes in on the back of a win, like I said, at Bangor. And I thought he'd been massively overlooked in the market. So they're my two big swings at huge prices this year, James. Appreciate It and Celebridalan. In second, I'm going to throw in Monbeg Genius. He's been touted as a potential Grand National winner for years, hasn't he, since he finished third behind Correct Rambler and Fast or Slow at the Cheltenham Festival a couple of seasons ago. He's run some superb races since in big field staying handicap chases. He was third in the Coral Gold Cup. He was fourth in the Welsh Grand National this year. So we know he'll get the distance. And he comes in good form, having won last time out at Uttoxeter, which was a career best effort. So again, what should be good odds, although not quite as big as the first two mentioned. Monbeg Genius is my number two. But number one for me is boring, I know, Iroko. The hot favourite. He just looks like the typical sort of horse that wins a modern day Grand National. He's got loads of ability. He's been totally trained with a race in mind, like most of them. But he's unexposed at any sort of staying distances, but looks like he wants a trip. He was obviously beaten by Grey Dawn in last time, but that was probably his best effort of the season. He'd run some solid races over 2.5 previously. I'm expecting Iroko to make a massive step up on his previous form now that he goes over 4 miles plus for the first time. And of course, last season at this track in the Grade One novice, he was beaten only 4 lengths by none other than I Know the Way You're Thinking, who went on to win the Gold Cup last year. So that's my top four, James. Iroko is one. Monbeg Genius is two. Celebridalan, the 13-year-old, three and four. Appreciate It.
Celeb de Alen, 125-1 each way poke. That's exactly what the Grand National is all about. And training the West Country, of course, Graham. We love to see it. Bonus points for that for you. Take us away, Johnny. Your 4-3-2-1, please.
Yeah, I've been through this race quite a lot of times, and there's a case that can be made for a hell of a lot of them in here. But in fourth, I've ended up with 3 under through 5. Strong stayer. He would have been trained for this a while now. Paul Nicholls obviously has got a fair record in the race. Harry Skelton's on board, and he's a fair price here to have a good chance of being in the frame at the finish. In third, where have I ended up with third? I've ended up with 3-card Brag, also for the same owners. He's got the jockey booking of Sean Bowen, who's won a few times over national fences, albeit not in the national itself. He's a good, solid horse for Gordon Elliott. He's a bit inconsistent at times, but he's 5 lengths behind Better Days Ahead last time. That's a really good piece of form to me. And I think he should be right in the mix up again. Second, number two pick. I can't get away from Iron Maximus, last year's winner. He's gone up in the weights, but he won last year, obviously, which is obviously a big positive. He's rock solid on form. He's been trained for it all year. You only need to watch his races to see that. It's clear as day. And he should be there or thereabouts again. And I've fallen on the grounds of slight concern, but Intense Raffles as my number one selection for Tom Gibney. Won the Irish National last year. They kept him over hurdles to the start of the season to keep his chase mark down. He wasn't beaten far behind Nick Rocket in February, and he's had a massive swing in the weights in his favour against him this time round. He's only a 7-year-old, but I see that as a positive, and same as Iroko for Rodders there. And there's so many positives to this horse. He wants, the further they go, the better it'll be, which is obviously what you want in a national, and I can't see him out of the frame here, and I think he's most likely winner for me.
Okay, so in fourth, that is 3 under through 5. 3-card Brag at second. Iron Maximus in second, and Intense Raffles wins the Grand National, according to Johnny Pearson. Brett, you are live at Aintree for us. Any whispers in the press room as to what might win on Saturday, and what's your 1, 2, 3, 4?
There's definitely no whispering going on here, James. It's quite noisy, actually, but it's a great atmosphere anyway. Really looking forward to what's going to be a brilliant couple of days. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll get all the business out of the way. I'll give you the offers. We're playing 6 paces each way in the Grand National. I'll give you the horses that have been very well backed as well, and, you know, some real steams in the race. Minella Cocuna, of course, with the mount of Johnny Burke. That horse has been quite well supported anyway, so strong support for Minella Cocuna. Nick Rocket, this horse has halved in price. Someone back in back last May was on at 66-1. That went now into 33. It's a strong support for the Patrick Mullins ridden Nick Rocket. Monbeg Genius, also support for that one. These are sort of big price horses. Was 66-1, now into 25-1. And then a real gamble, as we always do tend to get at Aintree for the Grand National horse, owned by JP McManus. You said the horse, it's quite hard to pronounce. I'll have a go at saying it. Percival Legolas. Big gamble on that one. 33's into 10-1 now with Unibet. So strong support for that one. And also Highland for Nicky Henderson, of course, who's yet to win a Grand National, as we know. So it's a cracking little race. I'll give you the horses that I think will finish in the first four. I do quite like 3-card Brag. I'm agreeing with Johnny's thoughts on that horse. He's been trained for the race. Sean Bowen, obviously, a very positive jockey booking, and ran well last time at Navan, and, you know, sort of just got the right credentials. My only slight reservation with regards to 3-card Brag would be the ground. Look at his form. It is when there's a fair bit of cut. Now, I know it is slightly softer. It's good to soft in places on the Grand National course, and they, of course, are going to water over the next couple of days to maintain that juice in the ground. But that would just be my only concern, if it just happens a little bit too quick for 3-card Brag on this sort of ground. Hewick is the other one. Talking about sort of the ground condition may not suit 3-card Brag. It will definitely suit Hewick. You know, he had a nice run last time. He's in good form. He's been again targeted for this race. Support for that horse again, since they decided to switch him, not run at Charlton in the Gold Cup. We did see a lot of support for Hewick. So that's the one that's going to come into list for me as well. And then, believe it or not, I'm going to go for a 1-2 for horses trained in the UK. I know it's mad, isn't it? I'm going to go for the Can Do Kid. That was an eye-catching run in the Great Wood Gold Cup at Newby last time. He's only ever had one run beyond 2.5 miles. That was over 3.5 a quarter when he won the what was Hennessy at Newby. So he's unexposed at this trip. He's another horse that goes well on decent ground. And you just get the feeling the team down at Ditchy are pretty confident of a bold show from the Can-Do kids. So I expect him to go well. And then the other one, the winner, is going to be Highland. He'll love the fast ground. That was an eye-catching run at Kempton last time. Probably came from perhaps a bit of an uncompromising position. He did carry, I think, 11 stone 13. He had a big weight to carry there, and what was a good win for him, Charlie Deutsch on Katati Dory. So just got out there and you know, get a case of catch me if you can. So I think that there's lots that bodes well for Highland. I was looking at the stats, and I think there have been 5 8-year-olds have won it in the last 10 years. He's an 8-year-old, so that bodes well for him. So no, Highland for me. So yeah, so it's 3-card Bragg, Hewick, Can-Do Kid, and Highland. Easy peasy.
You make it seem so easy, Brett, don't we? All make it seem so easy. I'll throw mine in just before we take a short break. I'm going to agree with Johnny about 3-card Bragg. He's going to be number 4. Feel this horse is going to be made for the stamina test of Aintree. Going to agree with Brett on number 3 with Can-Do Kid. Completely agree about Paul Nichols's chance in the race. He's got 5 in the race, and I feel that Can-Do Kid is by far the best of him, has that untapped potential, and I think he's made for the Grand National as well. Second, Manella Kakuna. You mentioned he was subject to some support. Feel this horse is everything you'd want in an entry horse, but might just find one too good. And with Graham, it's boring, but I do think Iroko wins the Grand National. He's a grade one horse off a decent weight in the Grand National. That's what you're going to need in the modern day, I think. So, yep, the price is gone. He's 13-2 favourite, but I do think he will win. Right, we're going to discuss the rest of Saturday's action at entry after this short break. Right, so we are going to look at the other action from Aintree across Saturday. And we're going to start at the 120 at Aintree. This is the William Hill Top Price Guarantee Handicap Hurdle of 3.5 miles, a furlong. And your favourite here is Jericho du Repenay at 5-1. Catch him, Derry, 13-2. Bill Joyce for the O'Neill team at 7s, Actor for 40, and Navajo Indy, 8-1. Timmy Tuesday and Park of Kings at 10s. Johnny Pearson, you're a handicapper. Who's going to win the handicap?
It's going to go to the way of an Irish trained horse in Rushmount for Jonathan Sweeney. He doesn't have a huge stable and not loads of horses, but he was pretty good at the Dublin Racing Festival when fourth behind Percival Legawas, who's obviously running in the National. And he was really went off a short price next time out at Thurles in start of March and won a pretty easy 3 lengths. Beating a horse called Machismo, and there was a horse in third called Ad Calum, who's a fair horse. And he looks pretty well handicapped to me. You know, he's £11 higher on ratings here than he was that day. But I don't think that's going to be enough to stop him in this handicap. And I think he's still got a bit in hand. You know, you just need to watch the finish of his race last time to see how comfortable that victory was. And there's plenty more to come from the horse, I think.
Confidence out, Johnny. We like to see. Graham?
I think Bill Joyce could run well here, James. He ran in the champion bumper last season at Cheltenham. He was quite well fancied, didn't quite come up to scratch, but he has improved this term, no doubt about it. I mean, he was only 5.5 lengths behind the new Lion in the race at Newbury, the Challow Hurdle, which I think is tip-top form. And then he bumped into 6 Mile Bridge and Potts Charm last time out at Cheltenham. John Joe and AJ O'Neill have got a really good record this season at Aintree since they started combining. So I just wonder if they might have had a handicap at this meeting in mind for Bill Joyce. And of course, he's totally unexposed at the trip. He's going up to 3 miles for the first time. So Bill Joyce, at a decent price for me, James.
Yeah, the trip certainly seems like it's going to favour Bill Joyce. And finally, Brett, finish us off.
Yeah, I do agree with you, actually. I think Bill Joyce has got to be of interest on its handicap debut. My only perhaps reservation would be is the Mard May Court, or the main track stiff enough for him. But as I said, they're going to go a decent gallop, so Sam will definitely come into play. We are giving you money back as cash in this, so money back second and third. And we're also paying 5 places each way. So you're going to get some decent offers with Unibet there. I quite like Active Authority here. I think that was a very, very good run in the Martin Pipe last time behind Woodhoo. Stepping up in trip will suit him. He's a point-to-point winner. There's lots to like about this horse, so I'm quite keen on active authority. Jericho de Repene, as you said, is a favourite and is one of the obvious ones. Ran well in the Potemps last time. This time last year, I wouldn't have thought Connections were thinking that he'd be lining up in a three-mile handicap hurdle on Grand National there. You'd expect him to be in the two-mile novice chase. But, things haven't gone according to plan for him. I did sort of hear a few words that he may still go novice chasing next year. They're going to perhaps not completely draw stumps for that. But at the moment, he's over hurdles and he's obviously sets a standard. But he is a little bit, he's gone up, I think, £5 in the weight. So he's got to improve again, which brings me again to, I'm quite keen on active authority. I think it should go well. And the team are in good form as well.
Okay, we move on to the 155 entry, the Turner's Mersey Novices Hurdle over 2.5 miles, where we have Lulamba as the favourite, 11-8. I'm sure Brett will have some insight from the Nicky Henson stable about him. Of course, we all thought he was going to run on Thursday in the four-year-old hurdle, but nope, he comes here instead over that longer trip. Cocktail Divine, 7-2. Horatius Pearl, 7-1. Miami Magic, 10s. And Regent Stroll, 12-1, looking to get his season really kick-started, having been bought for a huge sum of money. Of course, at the start of the year. Brett, Lulamba, we thought we were going to see this horse on Thursday. We're instead coming here. What do we know about Lulamba?
I just think, as Nicky said in the press this week, perhaps he thought 2 miles was just a little bit too sharp for him on fastest ground. So stepping up in trip, they're going to just go that little bit steadier and be able to get into a rhythm. And it's a bold move. A young horse take on the older horses, but I suppose on the other side of the coin, he does receive a nice weight allowance. On what we saw in the Triumph, you'd hope he'd be, going very close, if not winning this. We are super boosting the runners in this, so you will get some enhanced odds with us. And I like the Lamba. I hope he wins. I do think we've touched there on Regent Stroll. He's kept some very good company. Another horse that's unexposed at this trip, went on his first time over this distance. That was at Wincanton. Obviously, it's got to step up into this company again. But it's, as you said, he's been behind the likes of the new line and so forth. So he's one you should certainly put into the equation. But no, I think I'm hoping that Lamba can do the job.
Lamba for Brett. Johnny, do you feel the same?
I'd be pretty surprised if Lulamba doesn't end up winning the race. I think he, on all no form, getting the four-year-old allowance, I think he should be too good for the rest of them. But on a bit of a price, I think should... I mean, I like Cocktail Divan from the Irish side of things, but too short a price needs to be getting involved in. But I think Fingal Bridge will run a good race for Ollie Murphy with Sean Bowen on board. It beat Regent Stroll at Exeter in February by a couple of lengths. Unbeaten over hurdles. Okay, yeah, he's not got the same body of form as some of the others in here, but he's an improving horse and can run well at a bit of a price for Ollie Murphy.
Okay, one at a price for Johnny. Finish us off, G-Rod. We're all pretty keen on Lamba. Any reason to take him on? I mean, he's getting a lot of weight. He's got that bit of quality about him.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a disappointing grade one, isn't it, to say the least? Nicky Henderson may be pulling a bit of the old Willie Mullins, this is such a weak race. He may as well run Lulamba in it. I mean, on RPRs, Lulamba is £16 clear, according to the unadjusted figures. You could argue that 11-8 is buying money. However, he is going up in trip, and he did run the fastest top speed in the Triumph Hurdle last time, according to the Race IQ data. So he's definitely not short of pace, put it that way. For all that he did shape like he would stay 2.5. I'd be inclined to take him on just from a value perspective, really. And the one that I quite like is Horace's Pearl, who's not the most solid of jumpers, should we say. I mean, he put in quite a messy round last time at Newbury, but he still won quite easily. And I like his habit of getting the job done. He's won, I think, 5 in a row. And we just don't know where his ceiling lies at the moment. I do like backing these sorts of unbeaten types at prices, if you can get them. Because with unbeaten horses, you never quite know how good they are until something goes and beats them. So I think that Horace's Pell's got a lot of upside, and he's worth backing each way against Lunamba. But obviously, having said he's got loads of upside, he needs to find that upside, because obviously Lunamba is a far better horse than him on what we've known so far.
Okay, so a straightforward look at that one. That was the 155. Let's move on to the 130, where it's a really competitive handicap. This is the William Hill Handicap Chase, or the Freebooter, if you remember it many years ago. And your favourite is a Cheltenham Festival winner in Myertown at 3-1. Imperial Saint, friend of the podcast, who's been on many a show, we've tipped him up at 7-1. Doc Pick Me at 8-1. Peaky Boy and last year's winner Cruise Control 9-1, along with Dr. Ken. Happy Go Lucky and We've All Been Caught at 10s, and Lamilos at 12-1. Graham, we'll come straight back to you. Who wins it?
Yeah, one of my stronger fancies on the day runs here, and it's an old favourite, as you said, the podcast. Imperial Saint looks just the type of horse that wins this race. It's often won by a novice going up in trip. And Imperial Saint is just that. And he's shaped like he would improve for a step up in trip recently, in quite hot novice company, behind Rubo last time. And he's obviously got this outstanding record at Aintree, hasn't he? He's unbeaten in three starts at the track. And he's really well suited by spinning around this tight course. Obviously, Myertown's going to be very hard to beat if he does reproduce his Cheltenham form, but the handicapper didn't miss it. He whacked him up £15 for it. And this is a totally different track to Cheltenham. And you also have to think that he would have been trained for that Cheltenham race. And this is coming up only, a few weeks later. So I'm going to take him on with the proven course specialist, Imperial Saint, James.
Okay, Johnny, £15 rise, as Graham mentioned, for Myertown. Is that enough to put you off the favourite?
I mean, he did win very, very easily. But, still wouldn't have had an easy race at Cheltenham, though. But it also doesn't look the strongest of races. I think on form, he's got as good a chance as anything else, really. But, I mean, I'm going to sound like a broken record, but there's one in here I think might have a chance for Ollie Murphy and Sean Bowen again. He's clearly had problems four of his last six runs, he had Aidan Coleman on top, which he hasn't been riding for some time now. But he reappeared in November, ran pretty well over 2.5 miles around Kempton. What problems the horse has had, I don't know. But I think there's still more to come from the horse, provided he still retains the ability he was on promise he once had. But it's not a strong selection. I don't generally like backing horses which have had problems, but I think I'm happy to take on the favourite here with one at a bit of a price.
Yeah, that's Dr. Ken for Johnny. Finish us off, Brett.
To be honest, James, there's nothing else I can add that G-Rod hasn't already alluded to. I agree with everything that he's said. Myertown, that's a hefty rise in the weight. Although, Lucinda Wrestler is thinking this horse could be a potential Gold Cup horse. If that's to be the case, he's got to be winning this and winning it well. It was obviously off a career high mark. And I agree with everything he said about Imperial Saint. The record round Aintree is exemplary. The step up in trip will still, I think it'll go really well on this type track, stepping up in distance. There's plenty of ticks in the right boxes for him. So basically, it's at the price is Imperial Saint for me. In a race, I should say, it's not faced each way.
This show isn't fun when we all agree with each other, but I'll let you off, lads. I'll let you off this one. Hopefully, we've got a clash of opinions on our next race. The last race we'll be previewing, the 3-5 at Aintree, the Ivy Liverpool Hurdle, of course, a grade one, where Tahupu is back after his shock second. Shock second? Maybe that's a bit harsh. At 5-2, he is to win the Liverpool Hurdle. Kisbahel at 4-1. Home Unley, 11-2. Last year's winner, Strong Leader at 6-1. The Wall Park at 7s. Let's go to you, Johnny, straight away. Tahupu, yes or no?
Probably. The Slayers hurling division typically isn't the strongest of divisions. No one wants to be the second best staying hurdler, so they end up going over fences and trying to win a big pot there. And then, but if they can't jump, they end up back in this sphere. But, I mean, he's not been to Aintree before, which I was a bit surprised by. But I think he's the best of a moderate bunch. I mean, that's sort of my view on it. Kitzbühel still sort of has the sort of look of could be anything, but needs to step up significantly on what he's actually achieved so far. But I mean, it's you know, Home by the Lee's beaten Bob Ollinger a couple of times this season, which, you know, if you're looking at that form directly, who obviously went and won the stays at Cheltenham, oh, maybe you think he's well overpriced. But, I mean, yeah, Tiapu should win. I thought that Cheltenham was a bit disappointed he didn't, but he's just better than the rest of them.
Hopefully he'll be too good for Johnny. Graham, do you agree?
No, I don't. I don't think Tiapu is very good. I never thought he was that good. He doesn't want good ground, or ground with good in description, in my opinion. He ran well at Aintree, but, you know, he was readily brushed aside by Bob Ollinger, who made him look slow, really, didn't he? I don't fancy him. I think he's a mudlark. I think he wants really heavy ground to be at his very best. It's a very weak division, and he's the best of them. But the fact with Tiupu is he's still not that good. And I think that it's right for something to step up, a bit like last year when Strong Leader stepped up to win. Although I'm against him. Also, the one that I like is Gwenny May Boy, who won the handicap on this card last year, the opening handicap, quite easily. Absolutely fresh that field. There were 21 runners, and he looked really at home at Aintree. Has obviously been trained with this race in mind since, and looked like he was peaking last time at Haydock, when again he was quite impressive in winning the Rendlesham hurdle around Haydock. So I think back at Aintree, there's a really good chance that you're going to see Gwenny May Boy make the step up and really put it up to Hoopoo and Kitboo and all these other ones that really aren't that good.
That is a typical bit of G-Rod there, isn't it? regards to Hoopoo, completely agree with about the ground. And also, he's quite good fresh, isn't he? And it's coming after, what, just over 20 days, which is a complete unknown for him. And we had a thumbs up from Brett, as you mentioned your selection there. I presume that's because you agree with him again.
Yeah. It's not inspiring viewing, is it? No, I'm quite keen on Gwenny May Boy. I do a bit of riding at Free Williams, and Charlie Todd obviously rides there. And he rode this horse at Haydock and went on him in the Rendlesham. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to speak to him before the race. Had I done, he would have probably put me onto a winner, because he said they were really, really confident that horse would win. This has been the plan ever since. It was always to go and skip Cheltenham. And, you know, he's a nice progressive sort. And as G. Rod's already alluded to, he's got the win here in the 3-mile handicap last year. So we know he handles the course. And he's an improving sort. I think he's had 7 runs for Dan Scout, and he's won 4 of them. So he's definitely on the upgrade. Interesting, though, you said about, like, Tiapu, like, you know, you don't like him. You know, you get these horses that you just don't really capture your imagination. Well, the horse for me, you're the magic. I was never a fan of Q Card.
No. absolute rubbish. You're talking nonsense now.
I know. The other one, we should have spun in there. Big price, I think he ran 33s, is Alto Belly. I know he's got to step up. This is a big, big step up for him, but he's done nothing wrong in his last couple of starts. Another horse that skipped when Ascot last time, didn't run in anything at Cheltenham, so he arrives here and nice and fresh. Again, he's got to step up to trouble the principals, but he could run well at some pretty good odds, where we are super boosting the field in that race.
Good, thank you very much for that. And all I can say is thank God Tom Park is not on the show, Brett, because he is Q Car's biggest fan. And I think even though you're on a different screen, there would have been some sort of violence breaking out in the postcast. But we will be having a look at the rest of the action just after a quick word from our sponsors.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 UniBoosts every day on any horses you want. UniBet, you're on.
Okay, so we're going to look at the rest of the action. Graham, what else has caught your eye, particularly Aintree?
Yeah, I mean, I've not looked much beyond Aintree. Of course, one of my gut-wrenching losers from the Cheltenham Festival's running, isn't it, in the Magol, and that was only by Knight, who I backed in the Arkle, only to see Django Bay come back from the dead and beat him on the line. I mean, that beat her on the line, that was an absolute gutner. But I do think that she could lower the colours of Lord de Sade In the Magol Novices Chase, the 5 o'clock at Aintree. It looks like a two-horse race, although it's interesting that Paul Nicholls is running Caliph de Burley, who obviously was well beaten behind Handstands at Sandown last time, but the form hasn't worked out too badly there at all, has it? So I'll be sticking with Only By Night in the 5 o'clock at Aintree and hoping that this time she will get her head in front, and she deserves to after going so close in that Arkle.
Certainly does, and at least Gavin Cromwell got some sort of compensation later in the week at Cheltenham. Johnny, I have a feeling we might not be looking at Angel Review. We know you like to take your view around the world. Where are we heading to tonight?
No, I mean, with the main focus on the flat this weekend is this Dubai World Cup night, which unfortunately does clash with Angel. But you know, you're going to see top horses running in the Alcor Sprint, for example, where Josh got sources of chance. You've got Romantic Warrior going again in the in the turf, and or in the Team Classic, one of them, I can't remember. And it's very, very good flat racing. I mean, Ryan Moore's actually been going off to Australia for Coolmore to Group One racing out there as well. For those of you who don't have much interest on the jumps and just want to get stuck into the flat this time of year.
Okay, well, I'm glad that G-Rod wasn't tipping up Maidan, considering he was singing last year, Forever Young is the favourite. I'm sure that's one of your eras, Graham. So we will move on now to our naps on Grand National weekend. Take us away, Brett. Firstly, what is your nap?
Yeah, I'm going to go for Gwenny May Boy in the 305 at Aintree. He's a very progressive sort. He's got a good record for Dan Scout. He's won 4 of his 7 starts. Impressive at Haydock last time, and some pretty juicy odds as well. So Gwenny May Boy for me in the 305 at Aintree.
Johnny?
My nap will be Rushmount in the 120 at Aintree. I think that's a lot of upside to this horse, and I think he's probably still pretty well handicapped.
Graham?
Yeah, 230 for me. Imperial Saint to remain unbeaten at the track.
And that leaves the Grand National, doesn't it? So I'm going to have to nap up myself. Iroko in the big one at 4 o'clock. Thank you very much to our panellists, Graham Rodway, Johnny Pearson and Brett Williams. That's our Grand National special done and dusted. If you enjoy the show, do rate, review and subscribe, and make sure to check out all the content live from Aintree across the next few days. Loads of content on the Racing Post website as well to look and follow all the big racing. The Grand Nationals don't stop there. You can join us again next Thursday at 7 o'clock, the usual time. We'll be previewing the Scottish Grand National, and Flat Fan Johnny will be delighted to hear that that coverage will also include the spring trials, the classics. They're almost there. Funny how much it comes around so quickly. But until next time, enjoy the racing. Goodbye, gamble responsibly, and best of luck on the Grand National.